This is probably the only time we have a chance to do this during a sermon. So I want you to seize the opportunity, and I want to sing after me. Doobie doobie doo, be doobie doobie. You ready? Everybody, choir? Doobie doobie doo. Be doobie doobie. That's lovely. That's great. Thank you. And thank you, Frank Sinatra, wherever you are. I enjoy getting people to chant together, but a Sinatra song line is a little different even for me. Now you have the conclusion of the sermon. But how we get there is going to be another thing. That's the task now. I should probably put the horse before the cart and introduce myself to those of you who don't know me yet, because this is my first and hopefully not last time I've had the privilege of preaching here at All Souls Parish. For those of you who don't know me yet, my name is Dan Prechtel. I'm one of your newest associate priests, along with my spouse, Ruth Myers, who you've seen and heard before. I'm a retired parish priest. I'm a Benedictine Oblate, a former Seabury Seminary adjunct faculty member, and I continue guest teaching in the spiritual formation field, and for the last 17 years I've been providing spiritual direction to individuals and groups and organizations under the ministry name Lamb and Lion Spiritual Guidance Ministries. And I'm happy to reflect with you today on Luke's gospel scenario about Jesus' visit to the house of Mary and Martha. The passage is undoubtedly one of the most well-known and interpreted stories in Christian scripture. Martha and Mary are often viewed as types. They represent active, doing, serving, hospitable, getting the job done life, set in opposition to receptive, quiet, being, contemplative, sitting at the feet of the teacher type life. And it's not unusual in church communities to hear people refer to others or to themselves as either Martha's or Mary's. In some churches, you might still hear of women's groups with names like Martha's Guild and Mary's Circle. So let's review that scene that Luke's gospel gives us along with a little background information. Jesus and his disciples are on the way. They're on the way. There's a road trip. They're on the way to Jerusalem, where Jesus is anticipating confrontation, possibly death. And on the way, they stop over at the home of their friends, Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus, in the city of Bethany. Lazarus is not mentioned in this scene. So Martha greets the travelers and welcomes them into their home, showing hospitality that would be appropriate for friends and supported by Jewish law and customs of the time. Martha's sister Mary is described as sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to what he's saying, while Martha is engaged in doing many tasks, presumably to provide hospitality. Martha complains to Jesus that Mary's left all the work to her and asks the Lord to make her help. But the Lord replies, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of one thing only. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." So here we have this dramatic tension set up between Martha and Mary, bringing them apart, and an appeal made by Martha for Jesus to intervene, which apparently backfires in favor of Mary. Commentators over the centuries have had a field day interpreting this scene. I'm particularly indebted to Dr. Susan Rakosi's chapter on Mary and Martha in her book, Great Mystics and Social Justice, for my continuing understanding of the ways this story has been interpreted. Early church theologians, such as Origen,
John Chrysostom, Augustine of Hippo, comment on how Mary's supposed life of prayer and reflection is a spiritual stance that is higher and superior to Martha's supposed life of activity. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory the Great used the language of active and contemplative life, symbolized by Martha and Mary. His understanding, too, is hierarchical. A contemplative life is superior to an active life. But he also thinks that contemplative life might be mixed with activity for at least some people. Other writers, such as Bernard of Clairvaux, the author of The Cloud of Unknowing, assert the supremacy of the contemplative life symbolized by Mary. Two theologians see Martha as superior. The medieval Rhineland Dominican, Meister Eckhart, and the Protestant reformer, John Calvin. Eckhart argues that Martha is more spiritually advanced than her sister and is trying to help Mary's progress. Martha is concerned that her younger sister is just enthralled by Jesus and that Mary needs to grow into a perfection that puts her spiritual life to work. Calvin commented, "Now, this passage has been wickedly perverted to commend what is called the contemplative life. But if we aim at bringing out the genuine sense, it will appear that Christ was far from intending that his disciples should devote themselves to idle and frigid speculations. We know that men were created to busy themselves with labor and live well for the common good." Then there are those who see Martha and Mary as symbolic of the uniting of the active and contemplative life. Gregory the Great hints at that mixed life as desirable for preachers and for pastors. Thomas Aquinas speaks of a mutual relationship between the two. And Francis of Assisi, sees Mary and Martha and speaks in terms of complementarity between the two. The Episcopal priest in mid-20th century and a Jungian analyst, John Sanford, in The Kingdom of Within, reinforced that position by interpreting the Mary and Martha story from a Jungian perspective of integrating action and contemplation, of doing and of being within ourselves. Now, have you noticed who has had voice in assessing the value of Martha and Mary? All right. That everyone but Teresa of Avila is a male, in either clergy or monastic or both. For me, therefore, feminist interpretations of the Martha and Mary story really are critical things. They're important voices to hear in informing my understanding of this. I'm reminded by feminists that the early and medieval church periods' interpretations reflect much that is part of the greater patriarchal and hierarchical system. Within that system, males were given the authoritative voice of interpretation that reflected a hierarchy that put monastics and clerics on a higher spiritual level than people in active secular life. A dominance of the contemplative in male religious professions over the workers and women. That the contemplative Mary would be seen as spiritually superior to the active Martha would serve the interests of this hierarchical and patriarchal system. Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza notes that although Mary is sitting and listening to Jesus, she isn't yet a full disciple. She can listen, but is not given the authority that the male disciples have of proclaiming the word. Is she being welcomed into discipleship by Luke's version of the Lord but prays for her silence? Martha is serving. The word used for Martha's service is diaconon, which could mean leadership in the church community of Luke's time, but is chided by the Lord. Could this mean that Luke is telling this story as a way of restricting women's growing leadership in the early church community? Women can and should serve, but not liturgically. They can listen, but not speak. Discomforting thoughts, probably to most of us. But those old structures of paternalism and hierarchy are still around us within the church, and at large, in our society, and in our world. We need to affirm a spirituality that is no longer hierarchical, but now unites us as equals before God and encourages each of us to value our capacity to be active contemplatives, reflective and prayerful responders to the needs of the world and our community, listening to Christ and responding by word and deed as agents for God's transforming mission. We need a spirituality that is no longer clergy-dominated, nor does it restrict leadership and authority to a special caste based on gender or race or sexual orientation biases, but affirms the ministry of all baptized people and declares that God dwells within each of us and proclaims that all of us have the capacity to be empowered by the Spirit, bearing gifts in the service of Christ. There are those who would separate the spiritual from the physical and say that the spiritual realm is higher than the material. But we can say that there is no separation between the physical and the spiritual. For we can look in the eyes of another person and see Christ present. We can serve another person, and doing so, we serve Christ. As we joyfully and thankfully receive the sacraments of bread and wine from the altar on Sundays, we must also work daily to treat the earth as God's sacrament. And we can boldly assert that each of us can be both mystic and prophet, contemplative and worker for justice. Do hospitality. Be God's beloved. Do justice. Be prayerful. Do service. Be restful. Do. Be. Do. Be. Do.